Welcome to the Adonis Lifestyle Podcast, and with me today is Kadhafi Bayer. Kadhafi showed up to Unsummit, so we hung out the whole weekend. So he was great to hang out with. And Kadhafi came in second place in our open middle category. Kadhafi looked really good. And dude, you actually gave Alan a better run for his money than maybe you think. Some people actually had you ahead of him. So
Really?
that like yeah,
Okay.
a couple of my buddies, my bodybuilding buddies that I showed your pictures to. So it was put it this way, you guys were neck and neck, that's for sure.
Right,
So
right.
yeah, man. So thanks for being on the call. Let's just start kind of where we start with everybody. What give us your training history before AI. Like what'd you do for workouts before us?
All right, thanks for having me, first of all. I really did this day, like, probably, like, actually, I've been training probably, like, say 10, 11 years ago, 11 years now.
How
I'm
old are
getting
you?
pretty more, I'm 33 right now.
Okay.
33, so that was when I was, like, 22, 23. That's when I really started to, kind of get into the weights, you know. Before that, I was, like, into more sports, soccer, football, cricket, stuff like that, back home, you know, in Trinidad. Well, I'm from the Caribbean, so. Yeah, so when I started, it was more bodybuilding type stuff, and I kind of like did stuff that, you know, like a trainer would give you, like they have these little charts and stuff, you know. Some of you might, you're new and you need help, so it's like, oh, they have like a list of exercises you can do for like a beginner, stuff like that. And then I graduated from that by some magazines, they did typical bodybuilding.com kind of workouts. Created my own programs in some cases, you know. And then, but I still used to play sports all that time, so I was more athletic than into the lifting so much. And then, well, came to the US probably like 5 years ago, and I decided, well, I really gotta put on some muscle because I was kind of tired of being skinny, lanky guy. You know what I mean? So,
Yeah, man.
yeah, so that's when I kind of really say, you know what, I kind of cut down on the actual recreational sports and get into more lifting. And it was more like bodybuilding type first, you know.
Right.
It kind of went from there. I did that for like 2, 3 years, create more. I had like, if I still had like a whole envelope full of printouts from bodybuilding.com and different magazines and stuff, you know, all the annual magazines and stuff like that. But, you know,
Amazing.
never really saw the results that I wanted in the mirror. I always thought I had to be like 200 pounds to get where I wanted to be. Or look how I wanted to be. So I kind of graduated from that after, like I said, let me try. So I keep trying different stuff. Then I went to the whole, you know, the whole CrossFit movement. I went to the whole CrossFit thing. It was fun, but I realized I already can't build too much muscle on this. This was more like an endurance triathlon kind of thing. But it was fun though, so I had the fun with that. And then I was how I got into it. Got on you guys, it was through a website called Fitness Black Book, I believe it was. It was Rusty. I don't know if you know about Rusty.
Yeah, oh yeah, we know Rusty.
Rusty Moore. Right, because actually I did his program and all. He had like a lifting program and a book. I bought his ebook and all that. And then had like some references to Eat Stop Eat and Peel On. And it's through that I kind of get into found Adonis Index, you know. So that's the way. You kind of stand. That's probably like 2 years ago. So that's pretty much how I got into the Adonis. And I was kind of captivated by the fact that your history and your philosophy behind it, no other program before had that kind of information, you know. So that was kind of what really got me intrigued. And I took a chance because I was really, I don't know if it was a biography or something you had. And how you got into it, and how you was trying to get bigger and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, you know, maybe I could give this guy a chance, you know, before purchasing the program. So, but I end up saying, I know what, I'm gonna take a chance. I take a chance on all the rest of them, so I might as well take one last chance and purchase this program. And from there, the podcast, I would say, was the most invaluable thing, you know, just the whole knowledge that. You guys give us in terms of just getting away from mainstream information and mainstream BS, as you said, you know. So
Yeah.
that's kind of how I got into it.
Okay. And did you, was there anybody, was it just the podcast in general, like some of the teaching stuff we did, or was there some previous interviews like with Jason? Like a lot of people, it was Jason
No,
that kind of got them on, or was there anyone in particular, or?
to be honest with you, I think it was more the podcast, the more the information, and then you had some references to Brad Pillon's site where he was doing like the whole lecture. He had like a couple of YouTube lectures on muscle building and eat stuff eat and the whole science behind that. You know, you eat to lose but get your body fat down, and you lift to build muscle. And it's not so much the actual eating to build muscle. I think that see that podcast, that one podcast is what really made me focus on what it truly takes. Like, you know, before I used to be thinking, oh, I gotta eat, I gotta eat, I gotta eat to really get bigger and look better. But it wasn't so my energy wasn't so focused where it needed to be focused on in terms of actually hitting the weights hard enough. You know what I'm saying? So I think the perspective changed for me, and from that I kind of started to see results. I was like, I had no more protein guilt, you know. Before I used to have to, I had no more protein guilt. You know what I mean? My wife was telling me the other day, she said, "You was a pain in the ass when you always needed to eat every 3 hours," you know.
Yeah. Oh, I still feel twinges of protein guilt. So does Pilon. I don't think we'll ever really. I don't think we'll ever really get over it. We'll always have a little bit. It's just getting better at it.
Yeah. Well, I think exactly that's what happened now, because it's not completely gone 100%. I still, like, when I don't get enough protein, I still say, you know, I need to get a little more protein today. But it's not as bad as before, but I could control it this time, you know. If I don't get it one day, I'm like, so well, I might up it tomorrow, you know. So.
Yeah, but it never goes away. It never goes away.
No, it never goes away. It never goes away. Certain things, like, for us, man, I don't think it'll ever go away. But that's how we manage it, I guess. So.
Okay, then what about being heavier? Did you actually ever try to get heavier? Could you, or have you always been lean?
Actually, I tried. Like that was my aim with, like, say 3 years ago. I was like when I was started when I seriously started. If I was like in late 160s, early 170s, like that weight range for my height, and I thought that was too light, right? Being 170 pounds. And finally, as I come in, the competition weight, I come in 172, and I look much better now than when I was 170 3-4 years ago. It's crazy. Yeah, so, actually I try to eat like every 3 hours. Clockwork, every 3 hours. And, you know, and then I go to the gym or whatever. I didn't have a six-pack. I was never really fat, but I was always a really consistent player in sports. But I never had the shape and the definition as I wanted, you know. So people were like, when I tell people, like, people wouldn't think I need to lose weight, to be honest with you. Like, see me every day, say, you don't need to lose weight. You're tall and you're skinny already, you know what I mean? So, but nobody really know about the proportions, you know what I mean? The body proportion and getting your body in the right proportions.
Right.
So, yeah, so.
So when you jumped on with us, obviously it switched your perspective to proportions.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I think that was the main mindset. The mindset was what really did it for me. It wasn't, the workouts are great and everything, but it was the mindset that I could have actually trusted the program by having that, all that knowledge and material and the podcast and the information on the website about muscle building and, you know, I mean, diet and everything. I think that the mind perspective changed, and I think that's what really did it for me, to be honest with you.
And then that's interesting. So did that change in the mindset and the kind of the belief in the concept helped you get, like, put the work? Obviously, a workout's a workout, but the mindset changes how kind of hard and consistent you'll even go through it, right?
Yes. Kind of like, you know, I know, in order for me to build some muscle, I got to lift to my maximum intensity, but safely, of course. But I gotta tax my body, challenge my muscle to do more work, lift heavier, you know, to grow. And I didn't depend on, oh, I need to get creatine, you know, I need to get this supplement and that supplement and this three pieces of chicken in every meal and all that kind of stuff. I just needed to focus on the weight, you know what I mean, on the weight I'm lifting, on the exercises I'm doing. So I think I was able to like clear my mind in terms of when I'm actually training. I know that I'm here to train, and this is all that matters now.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of diet, in terms of eating now, it was like, all right, in order for me to like show the muscle, I just have to eat less or eat the right proportions, portions, sorry. So, as I think you said in one of your podcasts, Brad said that you tend to get focused where focus is being, you know what I mean? So, you hit the weight side and you diet accordingly to your body fat. So I think that perspective really did it for me most of all.
So your pictures are awesome, and anyone who's listening on iTunes should shoot over to the blog and check out Gaddafi's pictures.
Right.
What did you think of your final picture when I know we talked about this in Vegas, so kind of let everyone know your feelings when you actually finally looked at saw your final pictures.
Yeah, well, I was actually pleasantly surprised, let's just say that. You know what I mean? Kind of impressed at first, and I was like, damn. Because the thing is, all throughout the contest, throughout the videos, after every workout, you watch yourself in the mirror. And I liked how I looked. Actually, I saw stuff improving. But I wasn't flexed. I wasn't oiled up. I wasn't under decent lighting. But at least I had definition. I had abs. But I wasn't posing. So I know it's there. And the thing is, I wasn't shaved as well. My chest wasn't shaved. So that helps a lot as well, as you know. So, so I wasn't flexing or anything. But I could see things improving, right? So when I took the pictures, actually I did it myself because actually my wife was away that last week at the contest there. So I was home alone, so nobody took the pictures. So, I did my thing, So
that's a really good point. So for anyone who might have to take their pictures alone, clearly from your pictures, you can take a really good picture even alone. So can you walk people through your experience taking the pictures? And actually, I remember you saying how hard the posing actually was. Talk about the posing, learning the posing, and then what you actually did for your pictures.
Yeah, well, I studied the posing. The posing tutorial we had with that guy and Brad. All right. I studied
Eric
that
Day.
For like, when it first came out, I looked at it, I said, all right, I think it came out a couple of weeks before the actual picture day. So I looked at it once or twice. I said, I got to get into that probably the week or two before I take my pictures. And probably like 2 days before, I was like, all right, let me try to get these poses correct and watching them, looking in the mirror, right? So I have like a big mirror, a full wall mirror in my living room. So I took my laptop up the downstairs, and while the guy, I can't remember his name.
Eric.
Was posing. I was trying to mimic his pose and looking in the mirror at the same time. So I went through that process for all the, I can't remember how many poses it was, all the poses until I felt, well, I got that mental connection in terms of like looking in the mirror, seeing how I looked, how I feel when I'm flexing.
Mm-hmm.
I try to keep that. I think I did that like 2 days before, no, actually it was 1 day before I took my actual picture to see a good one. And so I was trying to memorize that. So I did like a pre-pose something, And so the day of the pictures now, like an hour before I took it, I did the same thing again, just kind of refresh, And so when it was time to take pictures now, I had this black, probably a couple of days before I went to like the local store, Walmart, and buy like some black, I know you were talking about black background or white background, shows up really well. So I went to buy like 4 yards of black cloth, cutting cloth, just from Walmart, cheap, hang it over my mirror, And let me just go back one step. I found the right lighting that really showed me up probably the day before, because actually I took a couple of pictures the day before the actual photo shoot just to get the lighting right.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized that from those pictures, if you look at those pictures, you would know that the rest of the room was pretty dark. It was like only two lights were on and they were like in the distance. So it was, I always thought I had to have like lights all over me or something. And actually, the first few pictures it actually washed out my look completely, I look terrible. So I was like, I got to find the right lighting before I produce videos tomorrow. You know, that was my mindset. I got to find the right lighting. So I played around with that, like, probably for an hour or two. I took a couple of pictures, but I wasn't, like, shaved. I wasn't, like, you know, oiled up or anything. I was just flexing, but just, you know, in preparation just to get the right lighting on the picture, what I'm satisfied with. Mm-hmm. Probably, like, an hour after, I got the right lighting, and I was like, all right. So what I did, I kept everything as is. I kept the cloth and everything on the mirror frame that night. I kept the lighting position. I have a track light in the living room, so actually, I had to take out like 4 bulbs for the track light, so it was only 2 bulbs that was on. Mm-hmm. And what else did I do? Yeah, so I kept that. And I had a ladder that I used to put my camera on. So, and I put the timer on, of course, like, probably like 10 seconds or whatever. Actually, it's my wife's camera, so I didn't even know how many seconds it was. But I left that same setup because I was like really, really impressed by the way the lighting was, how it reflect, how I look, or reflect on the body. So, so I left that. So when it was, actually I took those pictures, I believe it was a Tuesday. Because I was planning to take 2 rounds of pictures, but after that whole taking those pictures on that Tuesday, I was so exhausted that I was like, because normally Wednesday is my fast day. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, I'm going to fast Wednesday. So and try like a semi-water deplete you guys were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And take your pictures that it could be a little more defined or whatever. But after taking that pictures, the Tuesday night, that was supposed to be my first round of photos. I want to put it up on the computer and everything. I was like, damn, this thing looked really good. You know?
Yeah.
I was like, and I was so mentally drained and physically drained because actually, when I take any pictures, I try to get a pump, you know what I mean? Try to do some push-ups and pull-ups. But as you know, my gym is in my garage, like, so I just open the door, go and do a set of bench press just to kind of keep tight and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really, doing it by myself wasn't hard, I would say that. For everybody who's trying it or want to try it, it's really simple.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of it, you're going to feel tired, exhausted, mentally drained. But it was worth it for me, actually. It was fun for me, actually. So.
Well, and that's good. That's good that, I mean, so anyone who's trying to do this, now they can refer back to how you did it if they have to do it by themselves.
Yeah, and actually, somebody thought I actually went to a studio and did that. I said, no, I did that at home. You know, I think in the building, I said, the pictures look really good. Who did the pictures for? I said, I did it at home. He's like, what?
So, at home by yourself, too, with a camera and a ladder.
Yeah, that's what a camera and a ladder. And you take the proper camera up, you know what I mean? So,
yeah. I also like what you said there, that you did it all the night before and then just left it all in place. That's really smart.
Yes. Yes, because I was like, I don't want, like, trying to do it the night of the submission and having to hustle and get all flustered or something. So I did it like, well, actually it was 2 nights before, but I was trying to take 2 rounds of pictures. But yes, I did it the night before, so I know I don't have to adjust anything. Just get a little warm-up, get a little pump, get some oil on, and ready for photo.
And just stand there, yeah.
Yeah. But next time I'm gonna take your advice on the mirror behind the ladder, so I can actually see how my pose is looking or if I'm comfortable or whatever.
Yeah, so and that's So you just like you said, you memorized what the pose felt like, but you weren't actually looking at yourself during those pictures.
No, I was looking at the camera. But the thing is, I memorized it, but after every shot, I went back and checked on the camera how it looked. I was like,
I
need to straighten up here. I need to
right.
twist here. I need to balance here. Because some of them, I took, like, probably, at the end of the day, it came up to, like, probably 80-something photos. I'm mm-hmm. sending about probably 18 or so to you.
Mm-hmm.
But each pose, I did, like, 5-plus photos for each pose.
Mm-hmm.
And because every one I took, I was like, it looked good. It looked good, or some, I don't like how this looks, so I'm going to do it again. So I did it until I think I get, like, 3 to 4 good ones that I'm happy with, and then I moved on to the next pose, and that's how I did it.
Yeah, that's good. Well,
yeah,
I mean, that's the way you do it. I mean, that's what we did. We just, when we did some here, We just kind of shot a bunch, looked at the one, we were like, "Ah, that's good for that one, move on." And that's all you need to do, right? I mean, and that's efficient. Some people took 200 or 300. You did it all in less than 100, which is pretty good.
I didn't want to go overboard. It was fun. It actually was like going back and forth, just from standing up, posing to check the camera, to set it again, and after a while it gets monotonous and it's tiring. But
Well, and that's why you didn't want to do another round, right?
no, that, exactly. But to be honest, if I wasn't happy with those photos, I might have done another wrong. But like between now and the next day, I was like, I don't think I could get any better at this point. You know what I'm saying?
So
I was
speaking of
pretty
that, what
insane.
did you you said you weren't even on a fast day. Did you do anything, or were you just kind of just move, like, as far as diet goes, what
On a fast day?
well would you do on the day you took your pictures, if you did anything? And then besides that, what did you do to prepare in general for the contest?
Okay, well, let me start by how I prepared, because I believe the contest was 12-week contest. So it started, I believe it was late January. I'm trying to remember the exact date. But to be honest with you, I didn't actually, when the contest started, I lost 10 days due to February 1st. I went on vacation with my family to on a cruise, right, to the island. So we went on like one of those cruises, the cruise ship. And it was 10 days. So that was from the 1st of February to the 10th, right? But there was a gym on the boat and everything, so I kind of worked out there, but I didn't really did the program. I did like my own little thing, you know, my own little body weight workouts and stuff, because, a lot of, you don't have all the weights and equipment. So I was like, I'm not going to worry about trying to, follow this program right now. When I get back, I'm going to get back to it. So I kind of lose like a week or two in between. And firstly, and I'll say I was doing the 3.0. I started the 3.0. And I was doing the height, the, what's the second phase? Hypertrophy, what's the name of it?
Hypertrophy, yeah.
Right, hypertrophy, yes. I was doing that. So I finished that, and I went on to the strength for, I believe, yeah, I went on to the strength module of that same 3.0. And what I did after was that, so I ended up like doing like 10 weeks total of the Adonis. And in the last 2 weeks, I did the MBF. I started the MBF, and actually, I wish that I started the MBF from the beginning, because I actually enjoy that more, the actual volume and the way the whole thing is structured. I think I would have gained a lot more out of the MBF, so I think I'm gonna go back to that when I go back to the Adonis workouts. Yeah.
Was that
So, was that?
okay? And then, what'd you do with dieting?
With dieting, as I was telling somebody, I can eat the same thing for like 4 or 5 days and it doesn't bother me. So normally, like, since I believe, as you know, I did the ATSB contest too, probably like a year and a half ago when I didn't place. But from that contest, I kind of was eating the same way up to this one, where I worked out my meals like in the week. Weekend, I don't have no schedule, whatever. So I worked on my meals in a week. So like my breakfast, lunch, and snack is pretty much the same or consistent throughout Monday through Thursday, or sometimes Friday. And on the weekend is whatever. So that way I was able to track my calorie intake, because I eat the same type of foods and same amount of foods. So I know right now I'm eating like, say, 1,900 calories, and if I want to lose more weight or get tighter, I just like cut down portion size or fast once a week or take one meal out, you know. So I was able to, that way I was able to easily track up or decrease my calorie intake that way. So it was pretty easy for me. And I'm a guy like that. I can eat the same thing once I enjoy it. So as I was telling someone, I found foods that I enjoy and I can eat regularly. Like, I like a lot of fruits. I like vegetables, like broccoli and cauliflower and carrots. I like those. I like a lot of fish, so I eat a lot of fish in the week, like grilled fish, like tilapia and stuff like that. So, as I say, my breakfast and my lunch and the mid-afternoon snack is the same. Dinner now is a different story. Dinner is like whatever it is they eat in the house, or if my wife cooks something that night. So 3 out of the 4 meals in a day was consistent, was the same Monday through Thursday, sometimes Friday. On a Friday, I might be more lenient. I might buy some lunch and have a pizza, have a beer. But I never really restricted myself. And on the weekends, for some reason, I heard a lot of guys, and they'll say that for some reason they eat a lot more on the weekends. I think it's the opposite for me. Not by choice, it's not by design. It just so happens that when I check like how my weekend goes, I actually eat less on the weekend due to I don't have a set schedule. I don't have like when I get up anymore. I don't get up as early as if I'm going to work in a week. And then the time I get along to having breakfast is already 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And then do stuff around the house or have to do errands and stuff. And I might eat until like 3, 4 o'clock and then might have one more meal or so in the night and might be nothing big. So it's not like I was purposely trying to eat less in the weekend. It just so happens that way. And on Sundays, even worse. Sometimes like Sunday, I just get caught up doing stuff and I might eat one or two meals most of the day on Sunday.
Huh.
You know, so it just happened like that for me. So I was like, so the diet part wasn't really hard for me. I didn't have, like, people asking, so what you eat to look like that? I say, it's not what I eat, it's like how much you eat. I told them, I said, find whatever you like to eat or you enjoy and you can eat consistently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, that's good. Then get into people's reactions to this stuff. Do people ask you, like, what you're doing?
I would say after the last contest I did, probably a year and a half ago, I didn't do any after. In December, no, I believe it was, yeah, December, last Christmas, somebody told me, you look like you lose some weight. I was like, yeah, I was in a contest and stuff. It's like, okay, you lose some weight. But they always see me as a lean guy, so they didn't know I could lose more weight. So, but it was winter time, so they really couldn't see no shape or anything, you know, your sweat, you're wearing big clothes and sweaters and stuff. And so that was actually the reactions more came after the first transmission contest I did. This one I didn't really get any reaction, not too much, because it was kind of true during the winter time, so nobody could really see what, you know, what was going on, to be honest, only probably the immediate family. But
So they were used to you then at that size?
Yeah, you're used to me. And actually, the first contest I did, I think I only lost like 12 pounds total for that first contest. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it really showed up much. As I say, where I started, I didn't really have like a big transformation of some of the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the second contest now, oh, I got to get into this part. I started this contest probably in the 180 range, really 180. And I was like, for some reason, I couldn't get below that. But it was a mental thing for me. I was like, as you say, we still hold on to, as men, still hold on to certain ideology that we can't get too light or we still need our protein, you know, stuff like that. So mentally, I didn't give myself permission to get below 180 because actually after the first contest, I was like, early 180s. And I was like, I was freaking out. I was like, I'm that light, you know. But this contest now, the first 4 weeks, I was like hovering at 180, 183, 180. And I was like, you know, I think in order for me to have a shot at really placing in this contest, I think I got to get a little more tight or leaner, you know.
Mm.
And then I mentally gave myself permission to be in the 170s, to break that 180 mark. Although I didn't want to, but so I was like, screw it, I'm going to do it. If push comes to shove, I could always put it back on after if I'm not comfortable or if I don't like the way I look. So what I did, one more thing too. Let me just go back. Sorry about that.
No, go ahead.
Starting the contest, I decided what I did different this contest in terms of the fast. The first contest I did, I only started the fast probably halfway through the contest, like the ATS2, I believe, the transmission contest too.
Mm-hmm.
I only fasted probably the last four to five weeks of the contest. But this contest, I was like, I'm going to do it different. I'm going to start a fast from the first week of the contest. So I started the fast once a week for the first, let's say, 6-7 weeks, once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then mentally, as I say, halfway through, I gave myself permission to go below 180. You know, I still like to look at the 180, 183 or so. But accidentally, I gave myself a commission. And when I upped it to two fast a week, yeah. Probably in the seventh or eighth week or so. And then, bam, I realized I'm like 175 after like 2 weeks. I was like, damn.
So you just tightened right up then.
So I just tightened, like, you know, like you could see more, I could see more definition or more, you know, more tightness or whatever you call it. Mm. Just by upping it for too fast. But the problem with too fast, like the last 2 weeks was a struggle for some reason. It was like getting really hard to do too fast a week for me. I don't know if it was mental or I just had a desire to eat something the second day. I think it was a Sunday I was trying to fast. So I was fasting on the Wednesday and on the Sunday. But those days the days of fast is the days I don't really work out. So, because I want to give myself like energy to actually work out. So I don't want to try. I know a lot of people do it. They say they have a lot more energy. I've done it in the past before in other programs, but at this time I just wanted to focus on building muscle and the days I'm not working out, which is the Wednesday. The Sunday, I'm going to fast on those days. So it worked out for me. I think it was a success. But in the last 2 weeks of the contest, the Sunday fast became really difficult. Yeah, I had to cut the fast like halfway through the last 2 weeks. Mm. And I was like, man, this contest got to be over soon. And at the last 2 weeks, it was like, I don't know, psychologically, you know, the date is coming, yeah? And I was like, I want it to be over. So that was pretty much what I did. So, as I say, I found stuff I enjoy eating that I can eat on a regular basis. Like, especially at work, it's a schedule. You know, I have a pretty much like a schedule. You know, it's like I have like breakfast around like say 9:30 or so, 9:30, 10, and I have lunch probably like 1, and then probably have like a mid snack about 3:30, 4 before I leave the office. Mm-hmm. And then I went, and then between like say 4 o'clock and say 8 o'clock, or even no, sorry, between 4 o'clock and probably after I work out, probably when my workout finishes like 10, 10:30, that is when I'm gonna have dinner. So I always work out in a kind of semi-fasted state anyway. Mm-hmm. So from 4 o'clock, 4 p.m. when I leave work, till like I might start my workout probably like 8 o'clock because I work out at home, so it's not a problem. So 8:30, then I get my workout done at 10, 10:30 or so. Mm-hmm. Then I'm eating my dinner. So I was like in a couple of like 3-4 hours fast before my workout anyway, but at least during the day I had something in the system, so so that's how I kind of did it. So as I said, diet wasn't really hard for me because I had like a way I do it that I could sustain it. Actually, now I'm pretty much doing the same thing now, and even before this contest started, I was like, after the first one I did, I was kind of eating the same for months before this contest I just did.
Yeah, so what are you doing for maintenance now?
Well, this is what I'm experimenting with now. I'm not fasting. I took out that Wednesday fast and that Sunday fast. So I want to see if by just eating the same way, but just eating like the same meals 5 days a week and the weekend, whatever. But as you know, keeping the calories in check still where, you know, I don't overdo it. Or if I overdo it, I might just cut back for the next meal the following day.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of experiment it now. And to be honest with you, I'm still as lean as I was in those clothes. Probably like in 2 weeks anyway. But the skill reading probably like 5 pounds more right now, which is fine for me because I still have the definitions and everything. But I'm in striking distance, and I know what it takes to get to that leanness if I need to.
Yeah.
So I'm not going too much beyond like 10 pounds, you know.
So where do you think you're going to hover around that's comfortable?
I'll say about probably 180.
Yeah. Okay. So you're going to settle in at around 180, and
yeah.
That's probably a good look for you. I don't see why you need to be much. Are you comfortable with that? Like, you giving yourself permission to be 180?
Yeah, actually, I'm comfortable with the look now. Actually, even though I'm not fasting, like, you know, my body kind of fell out a little more. So I seem like I look a little bigger than in the photos right now. Maybe
a little,
not as
little
tight.
thicker.
A little thicker, but about as big as, you know, the muscle, but, you know, my body just fell out a little more chewy. I'm not fasting.
Yep.
But, so I'm probably like 175, 176 right now.
No, that's good.
So if I get up to 180, I don't need to be, you know, 190. I realize that with my frame and how I'm built, 190, and I lose a lot of definition being 190.
So do you still have some of that? Do you still have some of that leftover feeling of needing to be heavier, or are you kind of getting rid of it, or will that always be there a bit?
I'd sort of be in 170. I think if I need to go below 170, I will have that mindset. I'll kind of panic. I don't think for some reason going below 170 seems kind of really, really pushing it to me.
Yeah.
Because I know I could have get below 170, but I don't know if I would have taken a hit in terms of how like muscle building potential. I'm not sure. So I don't want to chance that.
Yeah.
But for my height of being 6'1", I think 170 was really 171. I think 172 I came in, 172. I think that was like, and I didn't check the scale until that night. So all like a couple of weeks before the whole contest, I didn't check the scale. I wasn't even worrying about the scale. I was just looking at how I looked, and I was like, I was actually pretty pleased with how I was looking during the whole transformation. So I think I could settle. I don't need to be like even 190. I think 180. Maybe 185, like a distance feeder, if like I continue training, I continue progressing, and I build a little more muscle. Who knows? It might be like one. Like I think, what you are like 180, 185 or 190 now.
So. Yeah, I'm. Well, I sit somewhere around 185 right now.
Yeah.
So I mean, if I really eat a lot of food, like I can fill myself up to like 190, and then if I fast. By the end of the fast, I'm like 182 or something. So it's. I would say I'm around 185, even though we don't really say there's a particular weight. That's kind of where
I'm. Range. And for some reason, I it's really hard for me to hold on to weight, because I tried the whole bulking thing, as I told you before, and the most I got up to was like 196, 197. And it was, I got to 200 or so once or twice in the range of 200, 202 or so. But I couldn't stay there for some reason. My body just couldn't stay there, and I had to keep stuffing myself. And I couldn't maintain that. And I didn't have, like, and I was just trying to eat bulk up, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
And so I only hit that 200 mark probably once or twice, and I couldn't stay there. My body just, for some reason, I don't hold on to that. I don't hold on to weight easily, like some people.
Well, I mean, then that's your indication that you don't need to be doing that.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you have to fight and fight and fight just to try to stay, I mean, this just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I had to fight for every, and the whole thing about just trying to eat more, and as I was saying before, I did the CrossFit thing, and I was trying, at that time I was doing CrossFit, I tried to eat more, and I was doing the whole paleo type of eating.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I was eating healthy and a lot of greens and stuff, I was trying to overdo it with those stuff. So at the same time, I was eating healthy, but I was still eating too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I had to be constantly packing containers of stuff to carry to work, and I was like, this is a pain to be having every night to pack something, like spending like a half an hour to decide what they're gonna have and how much, and it was just mental, too much of mental torture. So,
you
guys, it was just like a peace of mind. It's like, right now I just prepare something like on a weekend, like I just like fry, grill all my like five pieces of fish I buy, put on the grill and freeze it, and every day just take one out for lunch and put some vegetables and put some like, I like potatoes, just like boil some potatoes and just put it in there. That's my lunch. That's what I pretty much do. So my eating was never really a social thing for me growing up. I think probably that is why I can do it like that, because coming from a background living in the Caribbean, we never really used to like celebrate food like how they do in America here. They really do it in Canada. But food here is a big deal, Thanksgiving. People talk about food when they get together, talk about different restaurants they visited. When we get together back home, first thing, it was about alcohol and playing card games and board games. It wasn't about food. Food to me is like putting gas in your car. Mm-hmm. You needed to get to go to send the car to run to where it needs to go to. So that's how I view food. Food is just like I just need food because I need the energy to get through the day. But it wasn't about sitting down and having like this food be in a certain. I know I have to enjoy what I eat, but at the same time, it wasn't like psychologically, it wasn't so much about I'm looking forward to dinner, lunch today, or I'm looking forward to this breakfast. I enjoy what I eat, but it wasn't about social, you know, love like that, you know.
So it didn't have an emotional connection for you.
Yeah, that's exactly. Because sometimes I feel like back home, like when I was younger, we play it outside for hours because we don't have a winter. So it's like summertime every day, and we play outside for hours, and your mom called it in to have food, to have lunch, and he's like, oh, I'm hungry, I'm playing with my friends or whatever. So it wasn't about, you know, whatever activity we were doing was more important. It's only until they come home and you're exhausted and tired, it's like, oh, yeah, let me go get something to eat. So food was like a second thought, you know. It wasn't the main thing like here. When I come here, it was adjustment for me, though, because they eat, like, I believe is the backward way we eat. Our lunch is our biggest meal in the Caribbean. But here now, the dinner is like a big meal. So it's like, so when I came in, I was like, oh, what do you want for dinner? I was like, dinner? So we didn't have like a big lunch already? He's like, no, you have dinner. I was like, really? So yeah, dinner was like, you know, a sandwich and a cup of tea or something, you know.
So it's
just like it's cultural, you know. It's like how we grew up, you know. I mean, it's culture. So
yeah, a lot of people in North America don't get that. They don't get that the rest of the world doesn't necessarily have this problem.
Well, I realized that's why I could understand where the whole America is about food and people always in America always trying to lose the extra pounds. I could understand. I see where it comes from because I was like. I actually had to like force myself to get accustomed to eating dinner. But now I'm living here like 6 years now, so I'm accustomed now. But through your program and the whole Eat Stop Eat, I didn't come here and wanted. I was like one thing. I'm like, I'm not gonna get fat when I come here. You know, that's one thing I told myself. I'm not gonna get fat. People say, "Oh, you're gonna live in America now. You're gonna get fat." I was like, "Trust me, I'm not gonna get fat." So I'm glad I found your program, so I know I'm going to come back with you, know? So.
Yeah, exactly. It's the simplest way to adapt, right?
Yeah, I adapt, man. I adapt, you know. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess this has been a good one, buddy. Let's just wrap it up. What advice would you give to another guy who's trying to get in shape? Like, what from your perspective, what would you? Someone similar to you, so someone who muscle building is their bigger issue, and you know, with the concept of the mistakes you made, like bulking, like what would you say?
Right. Well, first of all, I'll tell them is whatever program you decide to use, Adonis, whatever it is, whatever bodybuilding program, be consistent with the program. Give it enough time for it to work, one, in terms of muscle building, conditioning, your strength or whatever. Give it enough time, but at the same time, know what you're doing in terms of let me see how we're gonna put this. Try to understand that the thing that is really important in terms of muscle building is actually taxing your muscles and giving it a reason to grow. So you're gonna lift heavy enough and challenge yourself. But at the same time you're gonna be safe, like every day is too heavy, it's too heavy. But challenge your muscles and don't do the same. And if you, as I say, like in your podcast and in your information, that where you say a lot of guys don't lift heavy enough, they might do a weight that they can surely do heavier for the amount of reps they're doing, but they stay in the comfort zone. So I would tell them try to get out of the comfort zone in terms of that aspect of the muscle building part of it, and try to challenge yourself. Listen to your body. Sometimes your body might be telling you the weight is too heavy when your form is starting to break down. So listen to your body. remember that muscle building is about the weights, and in order for you to get the fat off, it's about being in a calorie deficit, eating less, you know. And next thing, be consistent. Whatever you do, whatever program you choose, be consistent. Be consistent in your diet. And it's not about what food you have to eat or what special health food you need to eat. It's about portion control and calories in, calories out, in terms of, you know, just getting the fat off. So that's what I would tell them. Just be consistent and try to make yourself more knowledgeable, and, you know, by getting the Adonis Index program. I can't say any better. I don't know, because the thing is, that's where I got the information from, and I can't really explain it as good as you guys. So, yeah,
no, that was...
Next, read the podcast and listen to the podcast or whatever. So.
All right, well, you said it better than I could. So, well, thanks, buddy. Thanks for being on. That was good. I don't know where else to go with this. You better show up to the next summit we have.
You still recording here?
Yeah, we're still recording. We haven't announced it yet, but when we do, I'll let you know.
Okay, because I'm going to ask you, when is the next summit? Is it once a year now? Or is it still?
I don't know. I think we might end up. I think the girls are spontaneously organizing one for after this next contest.
Whether
we like it or not, I think they're going to have one. I think they're going to have one. With or without us. I just hope they invite us. So we'll see. I'll let you know. I'll let everybody know.
Yeah.
So
I like the Vegas location though.
Me too. I think they're planning on going to Vegas again. So I think we might end up back there sooner than you think. But either way, I'll let you know.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right, KB. Thanks for being on. And so for Kadhafi Bayer, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast.